Okay, it's my great pleasure to start the ball rolling. We have Tim Roach, Secretary of Yorkshire and Humberside, TUC, who will speak first. A round of applause, please, for Tim Roach.
Thank you very much. I don't know whether to address you in a speech or start singing at this stage, but it is fantastic to see so many of you here. I'm Tim Roach. I'm the Regional Secretary of the GMB Union. I'm also the Regional President of the Yorkshire and Humber TUC, so fraternal greetings and solidarity from Yorkshire and Humber TUC. Welcome. It's nice to see so many of you, highly militant people, on strike. After all, according to the media, you'll strike at the drop of a hat. I think the real statistics are ATL first strike, is it, for 120-odd years? Let's start killing some of the myths that this right-wing media is putting out, comrades. Let's start killing some of these myths. You hear people talk about there is no alternative to these cuts. Well, I'll tell you in a moment exactly what I think about there's no alternative. But secondly, they don't realise and they won't accept that it isn't people like me who take people like you out on strike. It isn't people like me, a union baron, who blows a whistle or thumps the table and all you come out walking. It's at the end of the day, when you're at the end of your tether with negotiators who won't listen anymore, you're left with nothing else but to take to the streets. And that's exactly what you've done. Commended to do it. The intention of the right-wing propaganda at this moment in time is to do two things. One is to divide union members from their union leadership, but, and that's what all the highly personal attacks are about. And the second bit is to divorce public sympathy and support from all of you. Well, I'm going to talk to you about three things. One is who caused and created this mess. The second is the impact of what the Tory-led changes are, what the proposals are. And number three, the alternative, because there is an alternative. First of all, the impact. 700,000 jobs in the public sector already on their way out of the door, ready to go. That's on top of the other 700,000 in the private sector. 1.5 million to be added to the already 2.5 million. 4 million people all hunting down 500,000 jobs. Jobs in the private sector in Starbucks and Lidl and Asda. Well, I'm sure that's really going to make way for you, the jobs that you currently do so well at the moment. But let's be clear about what caused this deficit. It was caused by a £1 trillion bailout of all of the financiers, of the banks, the money-grabbing, dodgy dealers, that we, our taxpayers' money, had to bail them out. It wasn't about the previous Labour government. They didn't create the same issue, the same recession that you've got in the USA and in Germany and in Greece and in Spain and every other country. So again, let's dispel some of those myths. And what about the Tory response? What's the Conservative response? And standing in Sheffield as I am, I've got to mention the Lib Dems, of course, because it's Greg's backyard. First of all, the Eton and Winchester educated Clegg and Cameron, they wouldn't have a clue what's going on in schools today, particularly the teachers amongst you. So let's not let them tell us exactly how it is and how it should be. But in terms of the Lib Dems, they're simply the Tories' patsies. They're simply doing the Tories' bidding for them, and they haven't got a clue how to get out of it. The Tories' response is to use what they've always wanted to do, use the deficit rather, to achieve what they've always wanted to do, and that is to slash the welfare state, to smash your terms and conditions, and to smash your pensions. That's exactly what they're doing. What we call the most needy and the poorest in society, they call lazy, scroungers. That goes to the heart of their ideology. But they go much further than that. 30% cut in government funding to local authorities. Massive loss of jobs across local government. Cuts in terms and conditions, hours, pay, and yes, today, now your pensions. Let me just focus on pensions and teaching staff for a minute. In Sheffield alone, in this city alone, over the last year, there were over 3,000 attacks on teaching staff in schools. A higher rate than even security guards get attacked. So on top of that, people shouldn't go to work fearing that you're going to get kicked or you're going to get spat at or you're going to get bitten by kids. But that's what the real health and safety issues that face you all today are. And why do I mention that? Well, two things. One is this mum's army. When the Tories called for the mum's army to go into schools, look after their kids, there was this great hoo and cry then about the mum's army and, you know, the teachers start quite rightly talking about health and safety. That's what we were talking about health and safety. We weren't saying any individual isn't capable of looking after their child. But there's a massive difference in that responsibility and looking after a classroom full, that many of which are a handful and very difficult to achieve. That's the first thing. The second bit is, what about your reward? What about your reward? Your reward for all of this is pay another 50% on top of your pension, work a bloody lot longer for getting half of the amount at the end of it. That's not right and that's not fair. And yes, I will wind up. I just want to talk about a couple of things. What we need to do, where's the alternative? First of all, what we've seen in Greece over the last 2 days, they're to be commended. What we've seen the students, not just of Sheffield, but of cities up and down the country, they should be commended because they've stood forward. We do condemn the violence, that's not the right way. But proper protesting to stand up against this government is the only way to go. This government wants you to race to the bottom. They want you to race and harmonise all one of your conditions on the floor. We're not going to have it, and the only way to do it is demonstrations like this. Demonstrate, demonstrate, demonstrate until we get an election and throw this lot out. Thank you for listening.
Okay, next speaker, ex-president of ATL, Leslie Ward. Good afternoon.
I'm Leslie Ward. I was national president of ATL last year. 127 years old, my union. First time ever we've had a national ballot for strike action. And we've had a national ballot for strike action because we couldn't see an alternative. At my conference last year, the one I chaired, Michael Gove came and spoke, and I'm going to quote from Michael Gove. Shh. You never thought you'd be listening to Michael Gove here, did you? It was in his speech about teachers thanking us for all we did and what we deserved at the end of our teaching career. You would work quite punishing hours, but the guarantee you would be at the end of your time, your pension would be relatively secure. You might not earn as much as your contemporaries, who are as well qualified as you. You accepted that. You had good degrees, they had good degrees, they earned more. But you had a fulfilling career which brought you endless joy and at the end of it, a decent pension pot. And then he finished by saying, I think that's the sort of broad contract that you expect. You came in on a certain basis. You should proceed on that basis. I don't think he's kept his word, do you? If there is such a massive hole in our pension pot, why not show us the figures? I'll tell you why they won't show us the figures. Because there isn't a massive hole in our pension pots. Teachers' pensions are quite secure. There is enough money, and research has shown, the Audit Commission and the Public Committee has said that the cost of teachers' pensions will go down and it is sustainable. So it's a big fib about this massive hole. If there is, like I said, show us, then we can sit round and have sensible negotiations. Not you just pretending to listen to us, but not hearing a word we are saying. I'm going to finish off by saying an email. A lot of ATL members, you might be surprised to know, were very reluctant to come out on strike. But even our independent sector, 87% in favour of strike action. One of my colleagues sent an email about an ATL member who was very, very reluctant to go out on strike, so she went to see her MP instead. Down in the south, so you can guess of which political persuasion, the MP didn't look very interested, and at the end she stood up and said, look, a teacher's going to gain anything from this. And the answer from an honourable member of parliament was, no, because we never liked our teachers. My case rests. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Leslie. Next speaker is Georgia Dowser, president of Rotherham MUT.
Teaching is one of the best jobs in the world. It's one of the most interesting and varied jobs you can do. However, it is also one of the most demanding jobs. Little to people who don't work in teaching understand the sacrifices that have to be made on a personal level from young teachers who want to succeed in profession today. Now, young teachers are being attacked on all fronts. After losing ground on tuition fees, carrying the lifelong burden of student loans repayments, being mobilised by low pay, pay freezes, and the rising cost living costs, teachers are now faced with battling through the no man's land of incapacitating, increased pensions contributions, and CPI indexed pay. We are commanded to soldier on interminably. However, we are offered no commendations for our educational crusade. We are used to dealing with the disaffected and alienated youth. However, now we are in danger of becoming that alienated youth. Are these changes even necessary? No. The teacher's pension scheme is self-funded and affordable. This is not us paying to safeguard our own futures. This is us paying for the mistakes of others who still have their own futures, who have made no concessions to the disaster that we have inherited. We have invested our energy, our enthusiasm, and our creativity. Where is the return? The government, how much did they spend bailing out the banks? How much have they spent on overseas wars? These changes are iniquitous, demoralising, and divisive. If the MUT's estimate that a staggering 85.5% of young teachers would consider leaving the teacher's pension scheme, then that means that we've got teachers who are currently unable to financially support themselves. If there are young teachers out there thinking of leaving the teacher's pension scheme, I beg of you, don't, because you are facing a lifetime of hard work and then potentially being on benefits at the end of it. Moreover, you will become bankrupt, not only financially, but morally, because because the pensions of retired teachers are paid for by you, just like your pensions will be paid for by future teachers. The teachers' pension scheme depends on us. Without it, it will crumble, and then the taxpayer really will be footing the bill. The situation is clear. If young people are leaving the teachers' pension scheme, then we have a generation of teachers who are scared. And in a developed country like Britain, to have children educated by a generation of teachers who are scared is totally unacceptable. Thank you. We have to ask ourselves, where can be jobs and opportunities for career development for later waves of teachers coming into the profession with us as the army of the elderly hold up in the top echelons of the ranks? Alternatively, will we be too old, too expensive, and too set in our ways for employees to see us as a viable option? Alexander's claim that his pensions reform are progressive and fair. I say that it is not progressive and fair to limit the availability of jobs for young teachers. It is not progressive and fair to limit the opportunities for their career development, and this is not progressive and fair to have educators of our nation bankrupt and on benefits. Finally, on Tuesday, Darth Cameron and his Death Eaters accused the unions of feeding their members scare stories. This union does not need to create scare stories. Young teachers are already imprisoned in a nightmare. Thank you.
Georgia, very well put. Okay, next speaker is John Gilver from the FBU.
You haven't heard what I've got to say yet, have you? John Gulliver, Fire Brigades Union in South Yorkshire. And I'm absolutely amazed that in the 21st century, modern society, forward-thinking society, we're having to come here today to stand and fight for a basic right, and that is a basic right to have a decent pension and a decent future when we've come to the end of our careers, when we've had to commit to a lifelong of learning and then distributing what we've learnt to other people to give a better future with those children. This is our future we are fighting for. Yes, it's our pension, but it's where are the other people coming from? If they stop the pensions, start reducing the services that we deliver, where are they going to come from? They're not going to be there. How in fire service? When we tell us that the public is safe in our hands, it's a lie. The cuts started 3 or 4 years ago. Cutting the staff, our cleaners, our cooks, they don't exist. They've all gone to privatisation. I think it's a shame when we have to start relying on private companies to provide essential services. It's a shame, and shame on this government. Essential services should not be dependent whether the market is up or whether the market is down. They have to be there for everybody. That's what a public service is. The clue is in the title, public and service. We're not demanding gold-plated pensions like the MPs sitting in government. We just want something that's decent. My father went on strike in fire service in 77 for a decent future. It took a long time, but we've had at least 30, 40 years of political calm. We've had a decent service, and now we're back again, having to fight to claw back what's already gone. And also, ladies and gentlemen, do you really want a 60-year-old firefighter climbing up that ladder? Do you? Honestly? No. I don't think you would get it, because I don't think we'd get above the first rung at ladder without oxygen. And something else, ladies and gentlemen. Teachers, nurses, and you police out there as well. We're all vital pieces within our communities. Is it fair that this government has a right to take what's rightfully ours, what we need? We as a civilised society decide what we want in our society, what kind of people we are, the social, morals and values. That's what today's about. When government ministers start saying it's unnecessary, talks unintended, this is the time to demonstrate and tell them ministers down there, keep off our pensions, keep your thieving mitts off our pensions.
Next speaker, Dave Gibson, Branch Secretary of Barnsley UCU.
Just over a year ago, Cameron and Osborne told us a lie. Actually, they've told us loads and loads of lies, but I want to focus on one lie. They told us that if we took cuts in our pay, cuts in our pension, that would be necessary to protect frontline services. Well, I work at a college where 6 weeks ago our college management told us that 25% of the lecturers were to lose their jobs and by the end of this term because the college could no longer afford to keep us. If we're not frontline services, then what are we? Actually, the managers who tell us this, not one of them is losing their jobs. No, all frontline services to go. So, we've had a tremendous campaign already at Barnsley College in fighting back about this. We're on our third day of strike today. We've got two more strike days planned next week. We've had three demonstrations through Barnsley and another one today, so you get the sense that we're fighting back and we're not going to take what they're throwing at us. Even now, 6 weeks on, there are 9 of our members facing compulsory redundancy, with over 40 having taken voluntary severance. And these are not people who wanted to go. These are people who felt compelled to go. So it's not voluntary severance. It's a lie when they tell you that. We are determined to fight for our jobs, but we're also determined to fight over pay and pensions, because all these issues are part and parcel of the same thing. They're trying to drive down the cost of the welfare state. They're trying to solve their crisis, the bankers' crisis, at our expense. And the size of this rally today shows that public sector unions and the public generally are not going to let them get away with that. I'm sure, like me, you've been watching the scenes in Greece on the news this week. And one thing, and it's terrible when you see what the Greek Parliament's done. Now, 20% of public sector workers in Greece had to lose their jobs as a result of yesterday's decision in the Greek Parliament. But, and the point is this, the resistance is building there. They're on their 12th general strike. This time, they've had a 2-day general strike. The power workers are on strike. It's public and private workers, private sector workers fighting together, and you get the sense of the power that can change this and make a fair and decent society for us. So, when one of the earlier speakers said, let's demonstrate, demonstrate, demonstrate and beat this government, I would say, yes, let's do that, but let's strike, strike and strike to beat this government. Thank you.
If one thing that we've seen today, it's unity. We are in this together and we are fighting this together. There will be a bucket, a collection bucket, to support our striking colleagues in Barnsley. So please give generously. There will be people going around with the buckets. If you do see it, drop in a coin or two. Thank you. Right. Some notes. Okay, next speaker, it is Jim Board from Doncaster Unison Branch. The Doncaster Unison Branch Secretary, pardon me. Right, here you go.
Friends, comrades, brothers and sisters, I want to bring you greetings from Doncaster Unison, where today thousands of council workers have taken strike action along with teachers and lecturers and civil servants in a fight over the threat of compulsory redundancies and cuts to terms and conditions. We've had loads of messages of support, and I want to start off just by reading a little bit from one of them, because I think it says everything we need to know about why we're fighting. This is a message of support from the Rhondda Cynon Taf branch of Unison. June the 30th will no doubt go down in history as the day hundreds of thousands of public servants began the fight back against this government's attacks on working people. For generations, trade unionists have been at the forefront of improving the living conditions of the less well-off in society. We have fought for a world where everyone has access to decent housing, hospitals and education. And for anyone who is willing to take on this government of millionaires and money grabbers, this branch has the utmost respect. The sooner we are rid of them, the sooner we can once again build for a future worthy of working people everywhere. We have fought hard in Doncaster to win a ballot where Doncaster Council hasn't even started yet to impose cuts to terms and conditions. But our members said yes, they wanted to take strike action. I want to use a quote, and it's a quote from my nan. There are two kinds of people in the world. There are them that get shafted, and there are them with their hands on the shaft. Well, I think it's time we took that shaft back. I think it's time we showed David Cameron and Nick Clegg the proper use of that shaft. Because they have never known poverty. They have never known a world of work where you've known from the first day you start that you hate every minute. But our members in councils, in hospitals, people in the fire service and other public services approach their work day in, day out with dedication and commitment. And Cameron and Clegg and all of their millionaire buddies have no idea what that commitment means to our communities. They are willing to consign our members to poverty. They are willing to consign our members to pensions poverty. They are willing to carry out the biggest heist of our money that you will ever have seen in living history. And for that reason, the fight back starts today, and to see rallies like this taking place up and down the country is an absolute inspiration to us all. In the early 70s, Ted Heath asked the question, who runs the country? Yeah, we do. The reality is nothing moves. Nothing gets done. Bins don't get emptied. Hospitals don't open. Schools don't open. Floors don't get swept without us. We run this country. David Cameron is nothing more than a useless appendage in a nice suit. But I also want to send a message to Ed Miliband. I'm sure that at some point in his childhood, his parents, illustrious class fighters that they were, will have said to Ed, Ed, if you haven't got something useful to say, don't say anything at all. And I think the message that has to ring out from this rally today is, Ed, you either back us or you back off. It's absolutely true that for many working people there is fear. There is fear about losing their jobs. There is fear of swinging pay cuts and loss of income. But there is anger too. Today demonstrates that anger. In Doncaster, in Birmingham, in Southampton and in Camden, where council workers are out alongside all of you. That anger is going to be what takes front stage. Sometimes we have to fight when we're not sure of the circumstances. We didn't choose the terrain. But we're on that terrain, we're in a fight, and what we all know is when you're in a fight, you can't stop until the other man's finished. We can finish Cameron, we can finish him soon, we can bring down this government. What a fantastic turnout, brothers and sisters. Our colleague in the FBU mentioning the police earlier, and other colleagues talking about these attacks on your pensions. If public sector pensions have got such a massive, massive hole in them, and they're so unsustainable, can anybody here explain to me why the government are leaving the police pension alone? I'm absolutely bewildered. It is a lie. This is not about public sector pensions. It's about the public sector. They've already got their privatisation agenda. Ed Miliband is very close to Mr. Balls, and Mr. Balls and the Labour Party started passport funding. The biggest mistake the Labour Party ever made. Privatisation through the back door. Colleagues, I'm going to steal a saying of one of our sister trade unions, I hope they forgive me, but one of our brothers or sisters stood up at their conference the other week and said, this isn't a Conservative Democrat government, it's a Conservative dominated government. It isn't a condemn government, it's a condom government, and we're all screwed. Well, brothers and sisters, I don't think so. With one or two Labour politicians wavering on the side and saying, for God's sake, don't become the second enemy within. I say, as one of the enemy within from 1984, yes, we will be the enemy within, and by God, we'll give them a battle they won't bloody forget. Thank you.
Next, we have Martin Mayer, from Unite NEC, Sheffield First Buses Branch Secretary and President of Sheffield Trades Council.
This is absolutely fantastic today to see you all here fighting and joining up together in the struggle that we've got. And the struggle's going to get even harder as the time goes on. But with this sort of start, I'm absolutely confident we're going to knock this government for six. I'm President of Sheffield Trades Council, and right from the very start, we've given full solidarity to this demonstration today. We put our money where our mouth is, we put our publicity out, and we galvanised trade unions from across the city to inform them about your struggle and to bring them on board and make a presence here today. And that's really, really important, because if you need us again, I can assure you Sheffield Trades Council, the oldest trades council and the biggest trades council in the country, is going to be four square behind you. Let's take the issue of this strike today, because you're in the front line. They picked off the students and we backed the students. Now it's the teachers and the civil servants. Later it's going to be other public sector workers, and I believe wider and wider parts of the community are going to be involved in a mass struggle to come. But at the moment you're in the front line. And what they've done is that they've attacked your pension. And we've heard all the rubbish that this is about, the unsustainability of your pension scheme, or the longevity of you teachers who are living too long these days, and what a shame that is. Well, let's be absolutely clear, it's nothing to do with that. It's absolutely nothing to do with that. We know that for two good reasons. First of all, your pension scheme is not a normally funded scheme like most pension schemes, invested in shares which have been hit by the recession. Your scheme doesn't work like that. The employer's contribution goes in, the employee's contribution goes in, and out at the other end come the pensions for your pensioners that have already retired. It's completely unaffected by the economic crisis. The second reason we know there's nothing wrong with your pension scheme is because the last Labour government reviewed all public sector schemes only 4 years ago and made a number of changes negotiated with your reps to make them sustainable for the future. This is a simple, naked, smash and grab by a millionaire robber baron cabinet out to make working people, and particularly public sector working people, pay for the crisis that they did not create. Let's deal with a few of those myths. That the last Labour government is responsible for leaving us in this massive mess for 13 years of profligate public spending by an irresponsible Labour government. What a load of nonsense. Whatever you think of Gordon Brown, he actually reduced the public sector deficit to its lowest historic level ever until the banks crashed. Now, you may question whether you should bail out these capitalist banks, but actually, if they hadn't, we were 4 days away from every ATM in the country not being able to give out cash, and we as workers wouldn't have got wages, and the economy would have collapsed. So I think actually it was the right thing to bail out the banks, and it was bloody expensive to do so. And that public sector, the public sector has basically absorbed the private sector debt from the banks. Now, the other myth that the government of the day comes up with is that there is no alternative. There is no alternative to these public spending cuts, and we've all got to take our share, including you teachers and you civil servants with your pension schemes. Well, that's a load of rubbish. The unions are very, very clear. Of course there's an alternative, and your alternative is not acceptable to us. But let's make this absolutely clear. Whilst they're cutting £140 billion of public spending out of this economy, the rich and powerful, the millionaires, the bankers, the people this millionaire cabinet represents, are getting away scot-free from paying the taxes they owe to the public sector. In fact, before the election, the TUC, in a brilliant pamphlet called The Missing Tax Billions, pointed out that £40 billion a year was missing from the rich and powerful who evaded and avoided paying their tax.
Well, more research has been done since then. We now estimate this is over £100 billion a year evaded by the rich and powerful, who seem to think it's not for them to pay their taxes, it's for you to suffer, it's for you to take the pain, and it's for you to pay for this deficit. And we need to make sure that not only us here understand that fact, but all your friends, your trade union colleagues and your families understand these facts and fight back and have the confidence to stand up and say, this government will not get away with it. United, together, we can never be defeated.
Thank you. And finally, we have Marion Lloyd from PCSNEC.
I'd like to begin by bringing solidarity greetings from PCS. And what a magnificent show! 750,000 people out on strike today, and thousands more up and down the country supporting our fight to defend our pensions, our jobs, and the key services that we provide. But we know that this is not just about public sector pensions. This is about a government determined to dismantle the welfare state. And we have got to be equally determined that we will defend the welfare state and everything that it stands for. We don't want to see a repeat of the government in Greece, a parliament voting through extreme austerity measures which, if go unchecked, will crucify ordinary working people. Then we have no option but not just to bring out 750,000 people out on strike today, but we must be prepared to bring out 4 million, 5 million, 6 million, whatever it takes to stop this government in its tracks. Dave Prentice, General Secretary of Unison, has claimed that we could see the biggest wave of strike action since the 1926 general strike. We call on Dave Prentice, put your money where your mouth is. Burn Unison workers. Stand shoulder to shoulder with all of us inside the public sector and the workers in the private sector as well. If we are to defeat this Tory government, we have to bring them down. Build for a one-day public sector general strike. Let's bring this government to its knees. We need more than that, though. We need a real political alternative. We all know that it is no good whatsoever replacing one set of Tories with the new blue Labour Party. They are, Ed Miliband should be absolutely ashamed of himself. How dare he not stand shoulder to shoulder with us, but side with the bosses and big business and the rich. He should be absolutely ashamed of himself. PCS members understand the need for that political alternative. That is why my union have voted to at its conference recently to ballot our members on standing candidates in elections that support the welfare state, that oppose all cuts and defend public workers. Finally, today is called the strike for the alternative. Yes, let's strike for that alternative. That alternative is socialism. Go back to your branches. Go back to your communities. Build in your workplaces. We can do it. It's in our hands.
Thank you. I think we're going to end now with a little solidarity sing-song.
Well, the singing was great earlier, and now you have to sing for your supper, because I'm sure lots of people are hungry out there, and that's a good old sing of this solidarity song to finish. Thank you. Well, the bank has made a crisis, and they want to make us pay. They think they'll have our pensions, but they have to think again. We're going to stand together till we keep our pensions safe. Our union makes us strong. Solidarity forever. when Thatcher beat the Union, she took them one by one. But now we're out together and we won't be overrun. We're going to stand united and we'll strike until we've won. Our union makes us strong. Solidarity forever.